No news is good news. We've heard this phrase many times. I don't know if you know, but I looked it up. Its origins are attributed to King James I of England. Yes, that King James, who commissioned the English translation of the Bible, which was published in 1611. Although his phrase was slightly different. No news is better than evil news. It doesn't quite have the same ring as our modern-day idiom. But our text this morning also speaks of good news. But it's a different type of good news. God's good news is worth hearing and receiving because it is for all people. It does not change, and it's not just words. It changes us. It's transformational. Decades ago, I took a youth group to a nursing home once a month on Sunday afternoons after our church service. And we would go once a month, and there was a man there named Antilio. Antilio was in his 70s. He was Hispanic, and he had suffered a stroke, so he suffered with short-term memory loss. And he spoke only a little bit of English. I only know that he liked coming out because he just kept coming back each month, even though he didn't understand much of what we were saying. And the youth would lead this service. I just gave oversight. After 3 years of high school Spanish, the only two things I could say is that I have three older sisters and I like to draw. But even with someone with short-term memory loss, there's only so many times you can say that each month. Well, there was one Sunday I just didn't feel like going. I wanted to come home, lay down on the couch, watch the New York Jets lose, and relax. And I even had a good excuse not to go. This weekend was the men's retreat, and I was unable to go, and they used the church van, which we used to take the students to this nursing home. And so I said, I have an easy out. And all the while through this process, I knew God was saying, Jack, go. I know it's inconvenient. I know it seems insignificant to you, but go. But I went ahead and made phone calls to the parents, and I said, we don't have transportation. I'm sorry, we're going to have to cancel unless some of you are willing to drive. And sure enough, I got a phone call from Ray. Ray was one of the only men who did not go on this men's retreat. And he said, Jack, I'm willing to drive. I'm sure we can get a couple of parents who will carpool these students. I'll go with you. And I said, thank you. So we found enough drivers, and we went to the nursing home. And when we got there, it hit me. Ray Morales spoke fluent Spanish. And I said, Ray, would you sit with Antilio and translate what the students are singing and saying in their message? He said, sure. And after the service was done, Ray walked up to me with Antilio, and he says, Jack, Antilio has something he wants to share with the group. He said, Antilio surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And my heart was excited and broken at the same time, because I almost passed up the opportunity for someone to hear the good news. You see, the gospel was the good news for Antilio, who had suffered decades with alcoholism and depression and anger. And that is the heart of our message this morning in Isaiah 61, a message that was written 700 years before Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and 2,700 years before Antilio heard it and responded to it in faith and repentance. Now, to Isaiah's original audience, he's speaking to Israel, who is captive to the Babylonians, and God is promising a return from exile. But we this morning know that Jesus identified as being the fulfillment of this prophecy. So what makes God's good news worth hearing and receiving? What makes it distinct and different? Well, have you ever heard someone come in and say, hey, I've got good news? And you've had a long day, you're sitting and working on something, and you say, good, I could use some good news. Tell me. And they go, I got 2 free tickets to that Broadway play, and I'm taking my friend tonight. Just wanted to share it with you. It's good news, but not for everyone. Who is this good news for? Well, if we read in verses 1 and 2, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God, Yahweh, is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. The Hebrew word here, anavim, can also be translated humble, meek, depressed, either by external circumstances like a superior power that's afflicting you, or by your inner sense of being made low in reverence to God. It's the same word that was used when Moses describes himself as the most humble man on earth, which I always found interesting. But it also could mean afflicted, just weighed down. It's very reminiscent of when Jesus gave the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But of course it refers to those who are in need, who can't fend for themselves and are made low. But it goes on to say that this Messiah is also sent to bind the brokenhearted, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to those who are captive, and freedom and opening to those who are tied up and bound, imprisoned, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Some of you sitting here this morning can identify with one or more of those conditions, those states, or maybe you know someone. The weight of life feels heavy and has made you low. Maybe you feel brokenhearted. It's not that your heart is cracked. It has been shattered to pieces. Some of you feel imprisoned by your own desires or by the wounds that have been caused by others. You're tied up, unable to live life to the fullest. And Jesus says to you this morning, I have good news for you. There's another group that Jesus identifies that the good news is for. There are those who say, I'm not worthy to receive this good news, but there are those that we say they're beyond God's favor. And that is in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It says, Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. Now, let me just say for a moment, we all have our complaints and criticisms of the church. We may not like the songs or the style. We may not like the color of the carpets. People annoy us, and we just want to criticize and nitpick. If there was anyone who had a reason to complain about the worship, it was Jesus. And yet he never used it as an excuse to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. And so he reads from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. And he sits down to teach, and he says, today, right now, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And Luke says that people started to say nice things about him. All spoke well of him and marveled at his gracious words. And it would have been the perfect place for Jesus to stop. I mean, he was at the high point here, but he did the unthinkable. He goes on to share 2 incidents in the Old Testament where God's favor was shown and received not by Jewish people, the people who were supposed to love the one true God, but their enemies, non-Jewish people, the Gentiles, and people from despised areas. Sidon, which was the birthplace of Jezebel, and Syria. And by contrast, Jesus says, people in my own hometown will reject me, but the people you've rejected received God's favor. God's good news is for all people, even the people we don't like, even the people groups or the areas of town that we say, they're outside of God's reach. There's no hope for them. And as I said earlier, there may be some of you who say, I think I'm outside of God's reach. I don't think I deserve God's favor. And you would be right. None of us deserve God's favor because his good news is not for good people. They're for the humble, the meek, the brokenhearted, the one who acknowledges, I am a sinner and I can do no good apart from God. Jesus would say to you, I've got good news for you. The second reason that God's good news is worth hearing and receiving is because it does not change over time. Have you ever had someone come in, and let's use that Broadway ticket illustration again, and they say, hey, remember those two tickets I said I got for you and me, and I said they were free? Everything's changed. We got to pay for those tickets. And by the way, we also have to figure out where we're parking because I can't use the car I was going to use. And I have to bring my little brother with us, and he's not potty trained. Sometimes it's a new product of technology that promises us good news. It's gonna help our life. And we spend money, we invest in it, we start using it, and then it starts breaking down. It doesn't live up to what it said it would do. But the good news of Jesus Christ does not change over time. God doesn't say, I'll rescue you, and it's a gift, it's free, and then come back and say, I've changed my mind, you need to earn it. And even though our circumstances, as bad as they may get, may not change, God's good news reminds us, as the writer of Ecclesiastes says, he makes everything beautiful in its time. We'll get back to that in that third point. We see this powerfully played out in our gospel reading this morning. Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist is imprisoned, and he hears about the deeds of the Messiah, but he has a little bit of a crisis of faith. We're not quite sure exactly why. I tend to think that John was just struggling. And so he sends his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one we have been waiting for, or should we expect someone else? I think John was hearing about what Jesus was doing, and it sounded a little bit like that messianic reign, but not quite the way John expected it to be. After all, he's sitting in a prison. And so the disciples go to Jesus. And at this point, Jesus could have simply said, yes, it is I. The way Jesus had the funny way of answering those questions. It is I who you say is true what you just said. He could have just said yes. But had he said that, John could have also said, well, I don't know. Maybe he has a mistaken identity. And so Jesus does something very wise. He asks John's disciples to stay with him long enough to hear and see what is happening. That is to say, the good news isn't just my words. Look at what God is doing. And so he goes back, the disciples go back to John and report all that Jesus was doing. And when Jesus sends them, he quotes from Isaiah 35 and 42 and our passage this morning, 61. He says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. One author paraphrases that last verse to say, blessed is the man who does not feel that I have let him down. Now, you can imagine John receiving this report. His disciples tell him all that they have seen, and they're done. And John goes, okay, it's good. Is there anything else? No, that's all that we heard, and that's all we saw. No, he didn't mumble anything at the end about releasing captives or prisoners. Why would Jesus leave that out? People have speculated about this for a long time. But what I believe Jesus was saying to John in that moment is, John, I know you look around you, and it doesn't look the way you expected God to be doing what you wanted him to do. But don't get tripped up by that. There is a prison that is different that I am going to release people from. Remain faithful, and God will vindicate you. And almost immediately we read that Jesus gives John one of the highest compliments in all of Scripture. He says, there is no man born of woman that is greater than John the Baptist. And then he says something, again, that surprises us. And he says, but the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. What? How is that possible? How can the least be greater than the greatest? And that leads us to our third and final point. God's good news is worth hearing and receiving because it is for all people. It does not change, and it's not just words. It changes us. It's transformational. The least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist because Christians benefit from being on this side of the cross. Christians have the indwelling Holy Spirit in us to transform us, to make us new creations. People, Jesus doesn't just tell people good news. He is good news. His works are good news. Listen to verse 3 in Isaiah chapter 1. He will grant to those who mourn. He will give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness. I have a photo that I want to show you. This is called the Angel Oak Tree. It's in South Carolina. Has anyone seen this tree in person? We all know that a picture does not do justice what you can see live, but seeing that tree doesn't look like it's going anywhere. They say it's 300 to 500 years old, but it started out very small. In Isaiah 61, it says, the oaks of righteousness, this is the Lord's work, the planting of the Lord. And what are these trees meant to do? Bring glory to God. When you look at this, you can't help but think, God, you are so good. That's who he wants to transform us into. God's good news is worth hearing and receiving because it is for all people. It does not change. And it's not just words. It transforms us. Antilio heard and received the good news that day, and his life changed. Ray continued to meet with Antilio, and Antilio shared with him that he had a sister, a younger sister, who had been praying for him for decades. He didn't even know where this sister lived, and he so badly wished that she could know that he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And 2 weeks after Antilio shared in front of our entire group that he surrendered to Christ, he passed away. That story has stuck with me. That man's life has stuck with me, clearly, because it reminds me that God never gives up pursuing us with good news. And not just any good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. God in the flesh, who lived his sinless life here on earth, who was accused of blasphemy by religious leaders and sedition by the Romans, and sentenced to die on a cross. But 3 days after he died, he rose back to life. He met with his followers and said, "Go and tell everyone, all people, the good news that does not change. Tell them about my teachings. Tell them about my life. Tell them about my death and my resurrection. I paid the penalty for sin. And those who trust in me," Jesus says, "will have new life, abundant life." I ask you this morning, do you need to hear that good news afresh? Is there someone that you know that you've written off and just said there is no hope for that person? Do they need to hear the good news? And would you consider hearing God's gentle voice prodding you to be an agent of that good news? Please join me in prayer. Father, thank you that you taught us to love by loving us first. And we thank you that your good news is like no other good news. We pray that you would continue to create in us a confidence and boldness to share that good news with others. Lord, none of us deserve it. But this is the year of the Lord's favor. This is the day of his mercy. We thank you, God, that you sent your one and only Son, Jesus, to die for our sins. Lord, give us new life and help us to live in that good news so that others might see it and might want to know about it. In Jesus' name, amen.